It's The Takeaway. I'm Lynn Scherer here with Todd Zwillick. And Todd, this year's political landscape took a decidedly female turn Tuesday night, with women beating men in five state primaries, as you know. Add to that, first female Speaker of the House, the possibility of three women on the U.S. Supreme Court, and an entire generation who now believes that only a woman can be Secretary right. of State. So are you feeling lonely down there in Washington?
Well, I'm not running for office. I suppose if I were, I'd be feeling lonely. And let's not forget...
As a guy.
And let's not forget the woman politician who is standing behind many of these women, Sarah Palin, who's pulling some PR strings for many of them. So it's not just the candidates, but the ideologues as well.
Playmakers, indeed.
Yeah, the playmakers, indeed.
All right. So does this mean that we're no longer living in a man's world? We're here with Hannah Rosen, a contributing editor at The Atlantic, where her recent article, The End of Men, has raised a few questions. Hannah, good morning again to you.
Good morning.
I know your article is more about the economic situation, but let's start with politics because that's what's in the news. Do you believe we're seeing a new kind of female power out there?
It sure looks like it from yesterday's election. I mean, I have to say I was surprised. I'm not even sure how to react to it. I mean, you've got women who are not the usual kinds of women. I mean, one expected a sort
the of usual kinds of the usual kinds of women in politics.
Feminists, liberal women. I mean, that's what one expects when one thinks of women in power. And yet you've got women who are conservative, women sort of stamped by Sarah Palin, women who are conservative businesswomen in California. You have there a huge double victory. I mean, those women, you know, Carly Fiorina's the head of one of the biggest, and Meg Whitman for that matter, you know, fantastic companies. And so it's really a different kind of victory. I mean, those are very powerful women in California.
You know, it looked very good for women. Everybody called it, you know, women's night, ladies' night, whatever, Tuesday night. And yet, let's get real about politics. The overwhelming majority of office holders are still men. Only 17% of the House and of the Senate are female. And here's the worst number of all. The United States is 71st out of 189 countries in terms of proportion of women in national legislatures. 71st. So, Hannah Rosen, what does that say to you?
It is kind of amazing. In other countries, they've actually started to institute female quotas, partly because there are lots of studies about the kinds of decision women make and how
and
that
that's true
the
in France. It's true in Scandinavia, true in several African nations.
It's true in a lot of African countries, too. And, of course, we would never do that because that's not how we operate. I mean, quotas are just not an American thing, so that would never fly here. But it does tell you something. I mean, the fact that we hopefully we're doing it slowly. You know, it does feel like it feels like an anachronism. I mean, when I look around at the economy and sort of what women are good at and the way women are advancing, it just seems like a holdover from a different age. It just feels like it has to change.
Politics. Politics has to change.
I mean, that's true. What you're saying is absolutely true of business, too. I mean, my piece does not argue that, you know, women are taking over immediately. Look at this. Because if you look at sort of, say, top companies, the number of CEOs of top companies who are female is also minuscule. I mean, it's also pretty small.
True. But you do say the point that I take from your piece is, and I'm quoting you, economics of the new era are better suited to women. What do you mean by that?
What I mean is that at one point it was an advantage to be strong. You know, there was a sort of vibrant working class economy, just mere strength and power and authority
physical
meant
strength.
Something. Now it feels like what means something is sort of intelligence and communication skills and all kinds of skills that women have equal to men.
I was going to say, no offense taken, Hannah.
Yes. Sorry.
Well,
no,
I wanted to, but that leads
make
into
sure
a,
and say that after every sentence.
No, it's totally fine. But it leads to a question that I wanted to ask, which is, Lynn is a woman. I am a man. Generalize a bit. How does Lynn approach her job versus how I would approach my job as a man? That's making her better suited, in your view.
I'd like to point out he's asking you this question and not me. Go ahead, Hannah.
Right. No, this part of the conversation always makes me queasy because I read a lot of the psychological studies, and you never know. I mean, you don't like to say, you know, women are better communicators. You know, they have more empathetic skills. I mean, certainly that's what they're teaching in business school these days. They're using these kind of, you know, gender science to teach everybody how to be, it sounds like, more like women or sort of more women-friendly. But I think it's more that men have lost their competitive advantage in that's something that you have to recognize. It's not so much that, you know, women are much better at X and Y, because I'm not sure. I mean, the one thing it feels like historically women are better at is that they're more flexible. In other words, there are all sorts of jobs that started out male. You know, you can think of secretary and teacher, which have been taken over by women. Women have entered all kinds of new professions, and men just don't seem that flexible with the kinds of things that they do and the roles that they play. There are almost no professions that have gone in the opposite direction. Once a profession is sort of a women's profession, or, you know, women start entering a profession, men tend to shy away and never come back.
And yet, let me just throw out a couple of statistics. These from the White House Project, a new report they've done dealing with women's leadership. Women are 57% of all college students, but only 26% of all full professors. Among the Fortune 500 companies, women are only 3% of the CEOs. Women are nearly half of the law school graduates in this country, but they're only 18% of law partners, and only 1 in 4 is a judge. I mean, it's not exactly that women are taking over, are they, Hannah?
Yeah, I think that those statistics, I think continuing to look at it that way is sort of missing the point. I mean, if you look at this huge pressure coming up in college, and it's not just college students, it's also professional degrees, and it's also, you know, different professions like medicine and law. There's just no way those statistics can stand. And the next generation is demanding different things in the workplace. There's just this huge upward pressure coming from women to kind of make the world more amenable to things that they need. So it doesn't feel like you can continue to have this bottleneck for forever and ever. And what the piece does is take into account not just statistics. And, well, first of all, that's talking about the upper class professions. There's also what's happening in the middle class, which is mm-hmm. a radically different picture, in which you've got, especially after this recession, men not really able to find jobs, people not really getting married. It's not a happy picture, but it's a picture in which women are holding almost all of the power.
Well,
and that's a radical shift.
You say in your article, the working class, and I quote, is slowly turning into a matriarchy.
Yes, that's true of the working class. It is really feeling like it's slowly turning into a matriarchy.
Example?
Something that we associate with the underclass has now become true of the middle class, where women hold all the power, they have the children, they are getting all the jobs. All the professions in America that are working class professions that are growing most rapidly in the next 15 years are professions that are women's professions and that women dominate.
Hannah Rosin, contributing editor for The Atlantic, talking about her recent article. It's called The End of Men. I'd put a question mark there. She might also. And if you want to continue our conversation, please join us. Who has it easier in America today, men or women? Give us a post over on our website, thetakeaway.org, or give us a call, 877-8-MY-TAKE.
Feeling like it might be time for me to retrain here.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.